in this here. The Reformation started with a turning back to the foundations of the Christian faith again. And in Latin, they came up with the five solas. And by the scripture alone, the scripture is the basis of our faith and practice. And by faith alone, that it is only by faith in Jesus Christ that we have salvation. By grace alone, it is God's grace that we inherit salvation. We can't buy it. We can't earn it. To the glory of God alone, that all that we do and all that we are and all that we're supposed to be brings glory to God. And by in Jesus Christ alone, He is the only one that is worthy of worship and worthy of praise. And that's what our evangelical tradition is based on. And that was the beginning of the Reformation. And as we read back, and many of you come from a Mennonite background and an Anabaptist background, and in your background are many martyrs, those who laid down their life so that the scriptures could be in every single home, that the lordship of Jesus Christ could be declared by faith in Him and Him alone. And so we stand today in a really rich tradition. But this morning I want to, I think it was 3 years ago that I preached a message and I touched on this, but I wanted to preach this morning on the authority and the sufficiency of Scripture. And this will bring us into our summer series, because, of course, the Apostle Paul has probably given us more Scripture, more of God's Word. The Holy Spirit flowed through his pen in more than any other author in the Bible. But recently, it's interesting, have gotten into quite a few conversations regarding authority, regarding questions like, well, Pastor, does God still speak to people today like He did in days long ago, and various things like that, which really brings us right back to the Scriptures. So we want to see what God says about the Scriptures, about Him speaking to us. And so I want you to turn, if you will, to the book of 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. And then I'm also going to read a few verses that you're very familiar with from 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14 to 17. But 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture, and this is the Apostle Peter speaking here, came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in human will. Prophecy, the Word of God, God's specific will, never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And of course, one of the passages that many of us are familiar with comes from 2 Timothy. Paul is writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, and he is encouraging him, as for you, he says, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancies you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the person of God, the man of God, the woman of God, the child of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. For every good work. Well, the Scriptures have always been the foundation of faith and practice, especially for those of us who belong to the evangelical tradition. And I remember, I don't know if I've told this story from the pulpit, but I know I've told it to many people. When I've always gone on vacation, you always search for different churches to pop by and worship with. And many times I'm just a person, I love the smallness and the intimacy of things. And so oftentimes I will seek out a small little church somewhere where people are worshiping. And one time I was camping, and in the community was a small Anglican church, and I thought, well, I'll worship there today, and so or tomorrow. And so the next day I went for worship, and as the worship began, the pastor walked down the center aisle, and one of the deacons or one of the leaders in the church was following him, and they were holding the Bible, and they held it above their head, and they walked down and they placed the Bible in front of the pulpit. And it really struck me that day. Once again, God reminded me as they did that, it was just this visible, almost words spoken to my heart of the centrality of the scriptures in our evangelical tradition, because this was the Word of God. And it's not that we worship the Word of God. Well, we don't go to that, but we realize, as 2 Peter said, the Apostle Peter said, this was God speaking through the Holy Spirit, because the Scripture does not have its origin in the will of man. It has its origin in the heart of God. And as we look at the powerful passage, especially here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says three things about the scriptures, and there's three things that the scriptures teach us. And the first thing that as I also already mentioned, excuse me, from 1 Peter or 2 Peter chapter 1, talking about the source of Scripture, the source of Scripture being the Holy Spirit Himself. Now, in some ways, as the Apostle Peter mentioned, the source of Scripture is kind of, there are two people involved. There's a personality, and then there is the Holy Spirit. Peter tells us that the Spirit of God moved in the hearts of chosen vessels, of prophets, of hand-chosen vessels of God through apostles to write the Word of God for the church forever and ever. As Peter says again, it does not come by human will. Paul was writing when he said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to Timothy. Paul was writing in the will of God. And he was declaring to Timothy that these words are not just suggestions that of how to live a better life and or whatever. This is something that comes from the essence of God. And I'm writing this directive to you. I'm writing this letter to you so that you will understand the heart of God for the church, because you are becoming the pastor of the church of Ephesus. And I want to direct you again back to the Holy Scriptures, because it's the Scriptures that come from the mind of God, and it is the Scriptures that will inform you not only how to live, Timothy, but how to work and how to move and how to govern the Church of Jesus Christ, and where to point the Church of Jesus Christ and how to lead it into the future. You know, the Bible is an amazing book, isn't it? There are 66 individual books in the Bible that were written over 1,500 years in three different languages. And all of the 66 books carry specific themes. They carry their own individual themes because they were written, God wanted them written for a time and a place, but there's themes that run right throughout the entire 66 books that bring us always to the foot of Jesus. In fact, that's what Paul declared in 2 Corinthians. All of the scriptures, all of the promises of God find their origin in Jesus Christ. They become yes in Jesus. And there's not another literary piece, if you will, written in the history of mankind that, and especially in circumstances like these. Some were circumstances of persecution, and some were circumstances of relative ease and different places, and yet the themes all remain the same, and everything points to Jesus. It is an absolutely amazing thing. So the books, as I said, they may have different perspectives, but the words did not come, and that's what Paul was telling Timothy. The words of Scripture did not come from the heads of the individuals that held the pen. He said, all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. Has a divine source, Timothy. Never forget that. It comes from God Himself. It comes from the movement of His Holy Spirit. It is God breathing out and the pens of His chosen vessels writing down His words so the people of God will have direction for all of their lives or faith and practice. And so the Bible has authority not because we agree with what it says. It has authority not because we approve of what it says. It has authority because God has spoken it. And as we look at that passage of Scripture, the two that I read for you this morning, that is the one thing that comes out more than anything else. God has spoken these words. These words are God's words. Look at 2 Timothy 3:14, where Paul says to Timothy, as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it. And I think Paul was referring to two things here. First of all, he was probably referring to Timothy's mother and grandmother who read him the Scriptures at a very early age. One of the first things that we do for our grandchildren, when each grandchild is born, we only have three. We hope we'll have a few more. But the first thing we place in the parents' hands is a children's Bible, and in hopes and prayers that the parents will sit down with their children, with our grandchildren, and read the Scriptures to them. But we always know that that'll be there, because when we visit, we will definitely do that. So I'm sure Paul was referring to Timothy's mother and grandmother, who taught him the Scriptures from the time he was a child. But I'm sure that Paul was also referring to the divine teacher. You've become convinced of the Scriptures. You've become convinced of these truths, Timothy, because you know that the Holy Spirit of God was really the author. Paul was telling Timothy here, listen, it is important that you know the Scriptures. And we need faithful leaders and mentors to teach us, but we also need to hear the voice of the Spirit as He applies its truths to our lives. And I hope, brothers and sisters, that each one of us here, and there's probably so many Bibles represented in this place that we would be amazed today if we added up all the Bibles that we own and put them all together. But Bibles are no good if they're sitting on our bookshelves, are they? They're no good if they're sitting on our coffee table. They have to be open. They have to be read. And I hope, I dearly hope that when you come to church on a Sunday morning and you gather together with your brothers and sisters in Christ and you sit there and you listen to me, that which I say, you will go home and you will open the Word of God, and the question in your mind will be, did the pastor today preach from the Word of God? Did he declare God's truth? Is that what the Scriptures say? Because you need to be convinced, too, that I'm not speaking out of my will, that I am speaking out of the authority of the will of God. Because Scripture, truth, does not come from the will of man. It comes from the heart and from the mind of God. We can learn a lot of things from Sunday sermons. We can learn a lot of things from religious podcasts. We can learn a lot of things by reading books and Christian magazines. But we need to be immersing ourselves as believers in the Word of God itself. So let me always encourage you to take that time day by day to read Scripture, even to memorize Scripture. It's good for your brains as you move into the future. The Bible was given to us at such a cost. Men and women died so that the Scriptures could be in language, everyday language, so that everyone could have a copy of them and hear the words of the Spirit himself. And so Paul was, as Paul began this exhortation to Timothy, he was reminding him again, Timothy, the Scriptures that you hold in your hand, Timothy, the Scriptures that you unroll every week as you teach the believers, as they're coming together to worship, these are the words of God. This is not just any book. It's a book in which God breathed. This is God's truth. Understand it, study it, know it, and encourage your people. Encourage those you are leading, encourage those you are mentoring, encourage those you are teaching to understand it and use it as well, and teach them to teach others the truth of God's Word. This is the authoritative Word of God, and it is our task and privilege to be faithful to the Scriptures and faithful to God, because the Christian life flows out of that. The first thing that we see as Paul writes to Timothy and as the Apostle Peter declares is the source of Scripture is God himself. The second thing that we see here is the adequacy of Scripture. Verse 16 gives us a fourfold function of the Bible, and one builds on the other. Verse 16, all Scripture is God-breathed, and that comes out of the essence of God. It's useful for teaching. It's useful for rebuking. It's useful for correcting. It is useful for training in righteousness. Let me ask you, what do you expect when the Word of God is open? First thing I hope you expect is exactly what the Apostle Paul said here. I hope you expect to be taught. I hope you expect to be taught. Week by week when I sit in my study and I open the Bible and I go about my task in writing sermons. Some are very poor, I'm sure, and that you recognize, and hopefully some will really give some encouragement and to you in your Christian walk. But week by week, I open this book. I open it every morning for my own personal growth. And then I open it because I study, and my prayer is, Lord, teach me. Teach me your truth that I can teach others your truth. And I hope when you open your Bibles that that prayer is on your mind as well. Lord, teach me, because that is what the Bible is for. We listen to it, that the Holy Spirit can teach us, because this is the Word of God. Interesting verse in Isaiah 50, verse 4. It says this, the Sovereign Lord has taught me what to say so that I can strengthen the weary. Every morning he makes me eager to hear what he is going to teach me. Are you eager to be taught by the Lord every morning? What a great prayer. Lord, teach me. Fill my heart with your Holy Spirit. Allow me to know the essence of your Word. Allow its truth to sink deeply in my soul so that I can lift up the weary, so that I can encourage them. Not with the fluff that we hear on social media each and every day, but that I can encourage them with the truth. I had a cousin, first cousin of mine. I married she and her husband, probably back in the early 1990s, and he just lost his life to cancer this last week. four children, beautiful family, loved the Lord, served the Lord, still in her early 40s, and not a path that they dreamed of over 20 years ago when I united them in marriage. And so I wrote to her. I sat down and I wrote to her. And what could I write to her? I could only write to her the encouragement of Scripture. Because really, it's only the Word of God that can settle the heart when it walks in the valley of that much pain and that much death. And she wrote back and in appreciation, for sure. But that's what the Word of God does. It teaches us. It teaches us to rely on God. It teaches us about the truth of God. It teaches us that our Christian witness and service is just grounded in God Himself. And that's what the Holy Scriptures do. Think about it. Listen to it. Allow its truth to saturate your heart and your mind and your soul so that you will be able to minister to others. All Scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching. And then Paul says it's also useful for rebuking. Now, that's something that we don't enjoy very much. Many of us can think back to our childhood and times that we were rebuked by our parents in various things. But Paul is saying that's what the Scriptures do as well. Well, what does that mean? The Word of God rebukes us. Well, what it means is it challenges our presuppositions. It exposes us to times when we're living faulty lives. In other words, when we're going astray, when we're not walking by the truths of Scripture, it reveals sin to us. The Word of God is there to rebuke us so that we will always come back to the living and loving arms of the Father. The Bible is intended not only to address our minds so that we will be able to think well and think rightly about the world around us, but it also addresses our conscience and shows us where we are straying away from the Lord. The Bible says it is given to us that we can be conformed to the image of Christ. And that's what the rebuking of the Word of God is. It shows us, it reveals to us, it shines a light in the areas of our lives that are not conformed to the image of Christ. Timothy, as you open the Word of God, use it for teaching. Allow it to teach you, but realize that the Word of God is there to rebuke you as well, and through you to rebuke those who are listening to you, that they can be conformed to Christ Jesus, who is alive within them, and the image of Christ that God wants to build within them. The third function of Scripture is the function of correcting. You see, rebuking is not helpful unless it leads to correcting. When I reached for a cookie in the cookie jar that I was not allowed to take and I had my hand slapped, the slap is not enough. There needs to be a correcting. Why should I not take that cookie? That's a foolish illustration. But anyway, how many of us come and listen to the Word of God and read the Word of God in order to be corrected? That takes a spirit of humility, but that's the Bible's purpose. You see, the Word of God doesn't rebuke us to embarrass us, doesn't rebuke us to condemn us. It rebukes us to cure us and to correct us. James 1:22 says, "Do not deceive yourselves by just listening to His Word. Instead, put it into practice." The Word of God is not simply given to us so that we can acquire knowledge. It is given to us so that we can be conformed to the image of God. Galatians 5:25, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." The Word of God is given to us that we can live our lives in step with the Spirit of God. It corrects our behavior that we might be able to follow more closely the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And then James goes on to say, in verses 23 to 25, "If you listen to the Word and don't obey, it's just like glancing in a mirror and forgetting what you look like." I mean, why do we look in a mirror? We look in the mirror to see if we're presentable enough to go into public. And if we have something smeared all over our face and look in the mirror and see it smeared all over our face, and then we forget and we go into public, the first thing someone is going to say to us is, "What's that stuff all smeared all over your face?" James said, "Of course you wouldn't do that. You look in the mirror so that you can see if everything's okay, and if it's not okay, you correct it." That's exactly what the scripture is for. The word of God corrects us. David in Psalm 119 asked a very good question. "How can a young man keep his way pure?" His answer, "By guarding it according to your word." And then he says in verse 11, "I have hidden your word in my heart." Why? "That I may not sin against you." And then the word of God not only teaches us, rebukes us, corrects us, but it trains us for righteousness. That's the end purpose, training in righteousness. It means being what you were called to be. You see, by nature, we are not righteous. We don't function as we should function, as God created us to function. So God's word is given to us so that we may learn to live the quality of life that is deeply satisfying and also pleasing to God. Training in righteousness is a process. We live in an instantaneous day today. We want things now. We want to walk into Starbucks and have our coffee now. We want to walk into McDonald's and have our Big Mac now. We want everything quick. We like everything to be quick. We carry cell phones around so that we can be instantly messaged when someone wants to get a hold of us. And someone on the other side of the world can connect with us at any point in time instantaneously. But that's not how it works in the Christian life. We don't become an instant saint, so to speak. It's not just one magic prayer and that will do for your Christian experience. No, the Word of God is given to us so that we can immerse ourselves in it and day by day learn what it is to follow and heed to the Lord that we love. Continue in the truths, Paul said. Continue in the truths. Day by day learn. It's a process. That's what sanctification is. So let me ask, if the scriptures are given to us to teach, to correct, to train in righteousness, to rebuke, is there anything left out? Is there anything left out? I would say no. And that's why we must not only believe in the inspiration and the authority of scripture, we must believe in the adequacy of scripture. Because if we don't believe in the adequacy of scripture, we will follow any whim or idea that comes along. We will follow anyone who says, "You know, I have a word from God." If they have a word from God, it is based in the word of God. It's not a new word from God. It is based in the word of God. Because it is the power of God that brings people to Christ. You see, the scripture is adequate in our counseling. Scripture is sufficient for church growth, for our church strategies, for our church governance. Scripture is sufficient for church renewal. It's sufficient for personal growth. Because behind the written word is the living word. This is God breathed. And God forbid we plant our feet on any other ground but the rock that cannot be moved. So the word of God is teach, rebuke, correct, train in righteousness. And then the third point is the benefit of scripture. Remember, men wrote inspired by the Spirit of God to the believing people of God. So what's the benefit? How do we, if you will, measure the success of Scripture in our lives? How do we know if the scriptures are doing what they are meant to do? Well, verse 17 tells us, so that the person of God may be thoroughly equipped for what? For every good work. And that's what scripture is for. That's what it leads to in our lives. Now look what it says, that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It does not say that we might be thoroughly equipped to have our best life now. That we might be thoroughly equipped to live happily ever after. That we might be thoroughly equipped to have all the things that we ever wanted to have. No, scripture is there to equip us for every good work, so that our lives become a benefit for other people. Brothers and sisters, that's why we're placed here on this earth. That's who we are as we are sojourning these just few short years between birth and eternity. All scripture brings us back to the sending role of the Christian church. Scripture plays a missional role in our lives. It equips us to do other people good. It always looks to others. If you want to know if you are growing as a Christian and in the Word of God, ask how many other people are benefiting from the life that the Holy Spirit is producing within you. We are given the scripture so that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the missional role of the believer in the church. This is the missional role of the church, because that was the role of Jesus. Listen to what Jesus said to his disciples. Jesus replied, "We must go to nearby towns so that I can tell them the good news. That is why I've come. That is why I've come." It is recorded in history. There's one time that William Booth was supposed to, the founder of the Salvation Army, was supposed to speak at a large gathering. And in those days, anywhere you traveled, you had to travel by boat or cross land by train. And so he was traveling by steamer across the ocean to address this large group of the Salvation Army that were getting together. And the steamer was delayed, and so he wasn't going to be able to reach his destination in time. So he found a wireless station, and he sent by wire one word that he wanted them to know if he was going to be speaking to them, and the one word was others. Others. William Booth had it right. What God does in us to enable him to do things through us. The Word of God is not just so that we can be fed, so that we can gain knowledge. It is also for seed. It is meant to be sown through our lives into the lives of others so that they too may come alive in Christ. When Paul was writing to the Ephesians church, he told them, Christ chose some of us as apostles, prophets, missionaries, pastors, and teachers so that people would learn to serve and his body would grow. That's why the scriptures were given to us. And this is what they were meant to achieve. Through our growth and maturity, we would learn to serve so the Church of Jesus Christ could continue to grow from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. Jesus came to give himself away, and his word breathed into us achieves the exact same purpose. We have the Word of God. How privileged we are. We have the Word of God. It's sufficient. It's effective. It's living. It's powerful. It teaches us. It trains us. It rebukes us. It corrects us so that we ourselves can be the breathing, living Word of God into the lives of others, that Christ become alive in them as well. All scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man, woman, child of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Lord, thank you from the bottom of our hearts this morning. not only for the inspired, God-breathed scriptures we have in our hands, but we thank you that we have them in our hands. We thank you that we live in a country where we are free to read them, where we are free to live by them, when so much of the world doesn't have that privilege. Some don't even have the Word of God in their own language yet. They can't go home. They can't read it. Some are forbidden to read it. Thank you for the great privilege we have that through the written word we might know and understand and enjoy the experience of the living Word of God within us, Christ Himself living in our hearts. And our prayer this morning is that the living Word of God may flow through our lives, that it may be brought to life, that you may use us to bring it to life in someone else's life as well. And this we pray in Jesus' name.